Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, as I am recording this, we are in Holy Week. And so we want to dive into some topics surrounding the life of Jesus. And I can think of a lot of great topics. The one we're going to dive into today concerns the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Essenes, and Qumran. So some of those terms you may have heard of before, some you may not, but we're going to try to tie them all together here in about 15 minutes. So we'll see how we do. We're going to begin with the Dead Sea Scrolls. The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, the first of them discovered in 1946, discovered by accident, as the name would suggest, discovered by the Dead Sea on the eastern shore of the Dead Sea. There are all these cliffs. It's a wilderness. I got a picture of one of these cliffs and caves on YouTube, if you're watching the YouTube version. But all these cliffs and caves all around the edges of the Dead Sea. And in 1946, there were some shepherd boys out throwing rocks into caves just for fun, kind of relieve the boredom. And they heard a clinking sound when they threw some rocks into some caves here by the Dead Sea. And it turned out, as they scrambled up and got into the caves, that there were scrolls in there inside clay pots. Hundreds and hundreds of them, as it turns out, that were discovered throughout the 40s and 50s and even later. However, the world did not really get to see what was on them for another 20, 30 years or so. So it was a little while till we got to see what was on them. Now, the importance of the Dead Sea Scrolls is they are the oldest copies. They contain the oldest copies of the Old Testament that we have today. In fact, prior to the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, our oldest copies of the Old Testament in Hebrew were from about 1,000 years after Jesus. That's a long time between when they were written and the copies that we actually have. And so the questions arose, you know, do we have accurate copies today of what was written originally, you know, 1,000 years before Jesus, Moses, 1,500 years before Jesus? Do we have accurate copies of the books of Moses 2,500 years later, 1,000 AD, or did the copyists make mistakes? When the Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered, these scrolls were written around the time of Jesus, a little before, a little after. And so suddenly our copies that we have of the Old Testament were not from 1,000 years AD, but the oldest copies we have of the Old Testament are now from 0 or 100 BC. So much closer, 1,000 years closer to the originals. And so scholars, Christians, Jews around the world were anxious to see what was on these scrolls. Well, it turns out that the scribes were very, very, very accurate human Xerox machines. Little minor mistakes, differences seen between 100 BC and 1000 AD, but nothing of any great significance was found. The very accurate Dead Sea Scrolls, these copies between 100 BC and 1000 AD, not many differences whatsoever. And so the Dead Sea Scrolls were a very important find for that. Now, let's take a look at a video which talks about one minor difference between the Hebrew that was found that actually reinforced what Christians believe about a particular passage. I'll throw this up here. Let's take a look.
So we are in Qumran. This is an incredible place, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow, so right behind me, you'll see the cave where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, what is Qumran? Qumran is a set of 11 caves discovered by an accident. That's a pretty cool story. A shepherd boy, a Bedouin shepherd boy, walking around tending his sheep or goats, and he starts throwing rocks into the cave, which is kind of a fun thing to do in Israel.
Yeah, we like throwing rocks around.
That's right. So he's throwing rocks, and then he hears a shattering sound of glass or pottery. They go in, they find pottery, and the pottery contains most ancient Hebrew texts, which are manuscripts of the Hebrew Bible.
Scrolls.
Scrolls. How many of them? 850 Hebrew manuscripts. Here's the cool part. Before that, we used to have Masoretic text. Masoretic text is copies of the Hebrew Bible. And now that dates like to the 11th century AD, and it's the oldest copy we had until these were found. And these date 1,000 years older. These are from the 1st century BC. Until they were found, there was a dispute about Psalm 22. It speaks about Jesus being pierced. It says, "They pierced my hands and my feet." Well, that's the English translation. What does the Hebrew text say? Well, until these were found, the Hebrew Masoretic text, which dates from the 11th century, says Ke'ari, and Ke'ari is like a lion. But the more older Greek manuscripts used to say pierced. So which one is true, the Hebrew script or the Greek? Well, the Jews used to say the Hebrew is true, the Greek is just a, you know, manufactured fairy tale. Until they found these Hebrew manuscripts, 1,000 years older than the original Masoretic text. And those Hebrew manuscripts say Ke'aru. Instead of a Yud, it's a Vav, translating to pierced. So in fact, the original Hebrew text meant to say pierced. It is a messianic verse, and it's incredible.
That's awesome.
All right, so there you have it. That was Sergio and Rhoda. They produce a lot of great videos going around, touring around Israel. So Sergio and Rhoda, and you can check them out on YouTube if you want. But anyway, there's an interesting find about Psalm 22 in the Hebrew as compared to the Hebrew of the Dead Sea Scrolls, as compared to the Hebrew Masoretic text from 1,000 years after Jesus. All right. So Qumran, they introduced us to Qumran. Qumran was is what the area is called, this set of homes that were built there to house the Essenes. The Essenes were a sect of Judaism at the time of Jesus. And there's about 700 people buried there. So people in and out of the Essenes, they were a very, very strict community. And spent apparently a lot of their time copying not only Old Testament scriptures that we have today, for instance, many, many copies of the book of Isaiah, for instance, but also other books, other writings at the time. And so just a treasure trove of stuff found there at Qumran. One of the interesting things that, as we think about the Dead Sea Scrolls and Qumran, as the Essenes, the people who live there, is their connection potentially with Jesus, with John the Baptist. Now, for a long time, ever since we knew about Qumran, there's been this this sense, this possibility that John the Baptist was somehow connected with Qumran. Why is that? Well, a couple of reasons. One is that Qumran is known, because of these texts, is known to have taken in orphans. John the Baptist was born to aged parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth, and so it is possible that he was taken in by the people at Qumran and raised for a short time. I don't think anybody really has claimed that John was actually part of the Qumran community and took quite a bit of studying and quite a bit of effort to be part of that community, but nevertheless, to be taken in as an orphan and cared for and have a lot of familiarity with Qumran. One of the things that Qumran is known for is mikveh. Mikveh is ritual washing, ritual baths, and there were ritual baths all over Qumran, so they were clearly into that kind of thing. Well, of course, what was John the Baptist doing? Not very far away from Qumran, actually only a few miles away, we find John the Baptist baptizing, ritually washing people in the Jordan River, mikveh. So that's another connection of John the Baptist with Qumran. Of course, John the Baptist is connected with Jesus, Jesus' cousin, so people have begun to speculate what connection does Jesus have with Qumran, with the Essene community. Did the Essenes live other places besides Qumran? Yes, they did. Actually, the Essenes were of the priestly class, the priestly tribe, and but they were priests who were disgusted by the high priest and all his ilk in Jerusalem. They had abandoned that family of priests, believed that they were not living in accordance with God's word, that they were not legitimate, and so that's part of the reason why some of these Essenes had gone out to live in the wilderness. Other Essenes had lived in another area of Jerusalem. I have a map here on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, but if you're not, that's okay. But in the upper city of Jerusalem in Jesus' day, the walled city of Jerusalem in Jesus' day, in the south western corner of the upper city, there is what's called the Essene Quarter of the city. The Essene Gate was known to be there from Josephus. Josephus tells us about the Essene Gate that was there. And so these Essenes were, we don't know how many, but could be quite a few priests who were disaffected from the priests that were part of the ruling class in Jerusalem. Well, who knows whether Jesus had some connections there? Well, actually, we think he did, as it turns out. There is a strong sense that the Last Supper took place in the Essene Quarter of Jerusalem, in the house, potentially, of John Mark's parents. John Mark is the author of the Gospel of Mark. So see if you can follow along here, these connections. But so John Mark's the author of Mark. His parents lived in the Essene Quarter, we believe, in Jerusalem. So potentially of the priestly families, but, you know, disconnected from the ruling class of priests. So there's Jesus and a connection with the Essenes. Let's check it out. What other connections might Jesus have had with the Essenes? Well, it turns out if you look at the Sermon on the Mount, there's a couple of quotations from Jesus that kind of seem like they're coming from an Essene background. I'm not saying Jesus is an Essene. That is not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is there's teachings of the Essenes that seem to be rolling around Galilee. So not just in Jerusalem, but around Galilee as well. For instance, Jesus talks about the sons of light and the sons of darkness. Jesus talks about, you've heard it was said to love your friends and hate your enemies. Well, who said love your friends and hate your enemies? The Essenes said that. That's not in the Old Testament. The Essenes said that in their writings that have been discovered at Qumran. You've heard it said, Jesus says. Where do these Galileans hear this said? Well, from potentially the Essenes. Another connection that Jesus potentially has with the Essenes is through his brother Jude. Jude is the author of the book of Jude in the New Testament. Jude is Jesus' brother who did not believe in Jesus during Jesus' lifetime, but then came to faith later. Jude, in the letter of Jude in the New Testament, quotes a thing called the Book of Enoch. The Book of Enoch is not in the Old Testament. It's not a canonical book of the Old Testament. However, it seems like the Essenes were fascinated with the Book of Enoch. In fact, 27 copies of the Book of Enoch were found at Qumran. Jude quotes the Book of Enoch. Again, not that Jesus is an Essene, connected part of the Qumran community, but were the teachings of the Essenes kind of running around Galilee in the Nazareth area? Did Jude, Jesus' brother, run into those teachings? Was he familiar enough with the Book of Enoch to quote it? Yes, he was. So interesting. The teachings of the Essenes may have made their way to Nazareth, made their way to Capernaum, made their way around the Sea of Galilee. We've already talked about mikveh, ritual washings, and how Jesus often in his ministry talked about being ritually clean and unclean, and he was always getting in trouble for doing things that were considered unclean and all this kind of stuff. Another thing that seemed to fascinate the Essenes is the character of Melchizedek in the Old Testament. Melchizedek is a guy that shows up out of nowhere. His parents aren't named. He kind of just shows up and then disappears. He doesn't seem to, I mean, he must have died, but his death is not talked about. But he's a guy that Abraham comes to in Jerusalem, and Abraham pays a tithe to Melchizedek. The Essenes believed that in the last days, which they believed they were living in, right around the time of Jesus, that Melchizedek would come back. And that Melchizedek would be the Messiah, that Melchizedek was kind of wrapped up with the return of the Messiah, and that Melchizedek would be there. The verses that they looked to that Melchizedek would fulfill would be Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. They believe that Melchizedek would come back and fulfill Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Well, wouldn't you know it, the only sermon Jesus ever preaches where he quotes an Old Testament scripture and then preaches on it is, guess what? Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. In Nazareth, where we've said Jude, Jesus' brother, grew up, where we've said, you have heard, love your friends, hate your enemies. These teachings of the Essenes seem to be happening in Nazareth in the Galilee area. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, picks up on this. And in Hebrews, read chapters 5 through 7 in the book of Hebrews, it's all about Melchizedek, paralleling Melchizedek with Jesus, the Messiah. It seems like even the book of Hebrews was influenced by this Essene teaching, this Essene fascination with Melchizedek. All right, we've already talked about John Mark and his parents, the place where the Last Supper took place, most likely in his parents' house in the Essene quarter of Jerusalem, the southwestern side of the upper city. Who was a cousin of John Mark? Sorry, we're making a lot of connections here, so you might have to listen to this twice. But who was a cousin of John Mark? Barnabas. Barnabas was a cousin of John Mark. Barnabas appears throughout the scriptures in various locations. And I kind of wonder, personally, this is just a personal sense, did Barnabas, was he also influenced by the Essene teaching? Cousin of John Mark, happened to be hanging out in the upper city of Jerusalem with the other Essenes that were living there. Did Barnabas, was he the author of Hebrews? We don't know who wrote Hebrews. Barnabas is one of the suggestions. That kind of ties Barnabas in with Hebrews 5-7 and their fascination with Melchizedek. And finally, this is kind of an argument from silence, so not the best argument, but nevertheless, another indication. Jesus was oftentimes in disagreement with the Pharisees, a sect among the Jews of that day, oftentimes in disagreement with the Sadducees, another sect of Jews in that day, oftentimes in disagreement with the chief priests and the scribes, other groups of Jews in that day, oftentimes in disagreement with all these different groups, the Herodians, oftentimes in disagreement with them. Never once in the New Testament is Jesus seen to be in disagreement with the Essenes. Now, Jesus had some different teachings than the Essenes had, for sure. But never once do the Essenes crop up in the New Testament as a group that Jesus is opposed to, is differing with. And so I just wonder whether those people at Qumran, those people in the upper city that were Essenes in Jerusalem, those people hanging out in Galilee who were kind of influenced by the Essene teaching, those people really throughout the Roman Empire, those disaffected priests, were they primed to be drawn to Jesus, primed to be drawn to the message of Jesus? Were many of those first Jews who believed in Jesus after Pentecost, did they come from these Essene communities, these same communities that lived in Qumran? They were kind of radical Essenes, but nevertheless, fellow travelers, if you will. Did they come from, did these early Christians come out of these Essene communities? And really, did the Essene communities then disappear because so many of them became followers of the way, followers of Jesus? We'll never know. Maybe we will know sometime, but we don't know now. But interesting speculation on the Essenes, Qumran, Dead Sea Scroll. So as we go through Holy Week, just some teachings that we probably won't talk about in worship. My guess is they won't be talked about in whatever church you're going to during Holy Week, but nevertheless, interesting teachings about Jesus, interesting facts about the Dead Sea Scrolls. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. We want to encourage you to write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know if you could follow anything I said here in the podcast today, and if so, what you thought of it. If you have any other ideas about the topic, write us and let us know what other topics you'd like us to cover. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, and they will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.